Okay. So the last week we were discussing the Gemara here on Dalid Omid Beis. So I just want to talk about the last thing that we were discussing then. Which will connect to something else that we're discussing today. So the Gemara on Dalid Omid Beis discusses why we need two psukim. Why do we need separate psukim to teach us kinyan kesef b'kiddushin? Aisha nikneis b'gimel drachim b'kesef b'shtaru b'biya. So when the Gemara is casting about for the makar for each of these, so when it comes to kesef, the Gemara on that base, and then later, and the one that comes trippingly off our tongues is kiyika chish isha kicha kicha misnei afron. As we know, and that is a very fascinating limud from many points of view, the comparison to the acquisition of the Ma'aras HaMachpelah. That's the one that we're most familiar with. But the whole Gemara here, starting on Daf Gimel Amud Beis through Dalet Amud Beis, has really been focusing on another makar, the pasuk in Parshas Mishpatim, in connection with Ama Ivriya, right, which says that when she matures, when she reaches the age of being a Nara, she exits from her status as an Ama Ivriya, and Torah says V'yatza Chinam, right, Ein Kesef. And the question, of course, is if it's V'yatza Chinam, it's obviously Ein Kesef, so that seems superfluous. And in addition, we talked about Bnei Banim and Zera Zara, because of the yud is also extra. So the point is, why all these extra references? And the Gemara says, because ein kesef la'adon zeh, v'yesh kesef la'adon acher, u'maynihu ha'ap. That the reason for the extra drashos, the words, the yud, etc., is to teach you that while there is no kesef when an ama ivriya leaves her state of bondage, that is, when she matures, she leaves the master's jurisdiction, and there's no compensation. She just leaves. Her time is up. Ein kesef. But the implication is, abo yesh kesef ladon acher, that there's a parallel situation in which there will be kesef. That's why ein yotza chinam, ein kesef, the double emphasis. In other words, really, really, yotza chinam, ein kesef, not a penny. Meaning, why the emphasis? The answer is because there's a parallel situation, which obviously there is an emphasis. By the way, I just said I was going to do it and I forgot. But tonight's shiur is dedicated Lezecher Nishmas Rivka Bas Avram Shlomo, Dr. Horowitz's mother, and Neshama Shehav Aliyah, Zchus of the Divrei Torah. So the question is, what is the relationship between these two limudim, kicha kicha b'steyafron, and b'yatzachin amen kasa. So the Gemara here has a very interesting explanation. The Gemara says it's a trichasa. We'll just read these lines again very quickly. The Gemara says v'itzrich lemichtav b'yatzachinam v'itzrich lemichtav kiikach ish. This is Dalet Amud Beis, almost in the middle of the page. The ikas of Rachmana kiikach hava mina kiddushin diyoyv labal di dahave. Because of Rachmana v'yatza chinam. Because of Rachmana v'yatza chinam, hava mina heched yava ihi l'didei v'kidashto hava kiddushin. Because of Rachmana ki yikach v'lo ki tikach. So it's a very interesting Gemara. Gemara says that there is a ribui. There's something that we learned from each of these makoros. If we didn't have the makor v'yatza chinam, we would have thought that in the case of kiddushei katana, that the kesef kiddushin would go to the woman, to the kala, to the woman who's getting married, right? Kamash malon v'yatzachinam ein kesef adon zeh v'yesh kesef adon acher maniu ab. Therefore, who would you have given the money to had there been compensation in the case of ama and adon? You would have given it to the adon whose possession she's leaving as compensation, right? He no longer has an ama, but at least he has $100. So the limud is that in the case of Avayesh Kesef Adam Acher Vahinu Ha'ab, that the money goes to him as well. We wouldn't have known that if we only had ki yikach ish ish. And by the same token, the Gemara says, if we only had v'yatzachinam and not ki yikach ish isha, then we would have thought that it would be fine, even if the situation was ki tikach and not ki yikach. In other words, even if she took the initiative in the Maisa Kedushin, if it was nasnahi, that would be fine too. And therefore, ki yikach teaches us that there is a certain proper protocol in the Maisa Kedushin, probably one which reflects in a bigger way, right, the relationships in the Ishus. He's the Konesh, he's the Makne, and that we derive from Kiyikah. So what I was trying to explain last time was that there are two ways to learn this Gemara. One is, we'll call it the narrower way and the broader way. The narrower way, or the more pragmatic way, is that you have two Limudim. Each one teaches us something that we might otherwise not have known. That's the minimalist way to read the Gemara. In other words, there are two toss-up questions, we'll call it, right? Two questions that are open, in a certain sense. And we have Ribuyim to teach you to resolve these two interesting questions. One about Ki Yikach and Ki Tikach, and the other one, who receives the financial benefit in the case of Kesef Kiddushin of a Katana. However, and this is the point I'm trying to emphasize, according to this perspective, in the end of the day, is there a fundamental argument about the nature of what Kiddushin is, or what at least Kinyan Kesef B'Kiddushin is? No. Whether you derive from B'Yatzachinam, whether you derive from Ki'ikach, Ishisha, whatever we're going to say about the nature of this Kinyan is the same. But since there are two of them, right, and maybe the way that they're written, so we can be Marbe, we can resolve certain otherwise open questions. That's one way to read the Gemara. In which case, it wouldn't matter lahalacha either whether we derive. If I ask you in the end, what's the primary limud? Right. Number one, it's not a very important question because there's a limud. Maybe both of them limudim. Maybe one's the ikar, the other one's a tafel. But it doesn't really matter much anyway, frankly. And there certainly should be no other nafkamina because this is the ribui, the gilui milsa, that the Gemara identifies as justifying, right, the ribui makoros of this case. However, not such a surprise, I was trying to suggest an alternative way to read the Gemara, in which case the makor is very consequential, that the giluye milsa in each case is characteristic of a different perspective of what this kinyan kesef b'kiddushin is really all about. And the idea being that if you are going to derive this from ki yikach ish isha, so then you're looking at kinyan kesef b'kiddushin as something which is characteristic of kiddushin itself. And you're really telling us that the kinyan, the method, the mode of kiddushin, right, is part of the ishus. And that's why, for example, the Gemara tells us that only because the makar, remember that's the words of the Torah that signify ishus, that's the parsha of ishus, ki yikach ish isho v'ala. If the word ki yikach, the verb, right, in that parsha, the only parsha of the Torah that really describes or defines, right, kiddushin, if that verb means kiddushe kesef, that's very significant. It means that kiddushe kesef isn't some peripheral, you know, coming to an agreement between husband and wife that they will be married, but rather this particular method is significant, and therefore the protocols involved in it are significant. That's what the Gemara means when it says, that's why we know that nasnahi is unacceptable in not only Kiddushe Bia, where the Baal Tosfos read the Gemara, but even in Kiddushe Kesef. You might have thought, Kiddushe Kesef, it's an import from Choshen Mishpat, right? And Choshen Mishpat, as long as the parties agree, that's what's important. Here too, it doesn't really matter who takes the initiative, as long as they agree, they're getting married, you know, and money changes hands to signify that he's the Kona, he's the Makna, what difference does it make? At the end of the day, right, an agreement is made between them. And for example, in Ben Noach, that might be very fine and good, right? If there was such a method in Benoach, that's a separate discussion. However, what the Torah is telling us is, ki yikach ish, isha. Ki yikach velo ki tikach, we'll see later on. Ki yikach velo ki yakiach, some girsos have. Ki yikach velo ki tilakach. These are all actually different things. Right? Yikach velo tikach means that he takes the initiative. Yikach velo yakiach means that he is mekadesh her. He doesn't make himself the husband. He makes her his wife. Gemara says later on, if he says hareini baalech, right, that's not proper kedusha. He has to say hare at mekudeshes li. And by the same token, it's ki yikach velo kitilakach, right, isha leish, right. Even if you know, her role is going to be passive. If it's an initiated passive role, that's also not acceptable. Gemara has all these cases. So, but the point is, because Kiddushei Kesef isn't just a result. Kiddushei Kesef signifies a process, a Maisa Kiddushin, which itself conceptually, right, characterizes what Kiddushin and what Ishus is, and what this first stage of Ishus, namely Kiddushin prior to Nisuin, the Chiddush of Matan Torah, what it's all about. Again, getting back to things we discussed earlier in the year, right? The second word of the Masechta, Aisha Niknes, the Rambam's formulation that Kinyan is at the heart of the Chiddush of Matan Torah, what differentiates Jewish marriage from non-Jewish marriage. All that because we derived from Ki Yikach. But had we derived it from the Yatzachinam, so that's a pasuk in Mishpatim. It's not even talking about Ishus. It's talking about Avdus. It's only by contrast, right? In the most oblique, when I say oblique, I don't mean that it isn't compelling, right? We accept the drasha of Chazal and we understand it. Like, what's the point of all this emphasis? Obviously, we're trying to, you know, contrast it with something. And we're not calling into question the validity of the drasha. What we are saying is that by definition, it's oblique. Because it's not the parsha of Ishus. It's a negative rather than a positive. It's not a description of, like in Ki Yikach. It's the contrast to Ein Kesef in Ama Ivriya. It puts a whole different spin. The money in Avdus, right, is about compensation. It's like practically work compensation. So here it's like, oh, you know, a method of reaching an agreement. So by the same token, what we're going to say is as follows. Had there only been Ki Yikach Ish Isha, and the father marries off his young daughter, right? So what we would have thought was, who should get the Kesef Kiddushin? Well, the father is the one making the decision, right? But he's not, you know, a partner in this marriage, right? It only seems like that to the young couple, but really the partners in the marriage are the husband and the wife. She's a Ketana, but she's an Eishes Ish, right? And she's his wife, and she'll be his wife even when she's a Gedola, right? Unless there's an intervening get. So if it's Ki Yikach Ish Isha, even in the case of Ketana, even if he's making the decision, she should get the money. Because it also isn't just about money and an agreement, and therefore who really cares about the, you know, the actual financial aspect of it. It's a symbol, like we said before, of Kiddushin. So in a sense, both Giluye Milsa of the Gemara, based on the two psukim, Ki Yikach and the Yatzachinam, are very characteristic of the Limudim themselves, according to what I'm suggesting, my suggestion. But if that's true, then it really should matter to us, Lahalacha, what the main Makar is. Because according to this perspective, right, we're getting a very different picture of what Kiddushei Kesef is, whether we learn it out from Ki Yikach Ish Isha, frontally, that's the definition of Ki Yikach, or whether we learn it obliquely, right, as a contrast, a negative contrast, to Ama Ivriya. So which is it? So Tosfos says later on, Tosfos says two deos, what the real makor is, that would be very important. Tosfos says that later on in Yud Gimel. When the Rambam in Sefer HaMitzvos quotes both psukim, Ki Yikach Ish Isha and V'yatzachinam, that seems to be important. The Ritva makes the claim that no matter how many times the Gemara, you know, considers V'yatzachinam, it's always an adjunct. The real makar is Ki Yikach Ish Isha. And if you look at the Rambam himself, in Yana Chazaka, in Pirsha Mishnayis, here at Beis Amin Aleph, if you look at the Rambam in his famous Tshuva, when he talks about the concept of Divrei Sofrim, in all cases, the Rambam only mentions Kikach. The only time that he mentions V'yatzachinam is in Sefer HaMitzvahs. So if that's the case, in knowing what the Makar is becomes important. If that's true, so then there also could be Nafkamina, whether the Makar is V'yatzachinam en Kasef or Kikach. And that's what I was trying to add in the very end of last year, so I want to get back to it, but I want to bring it in already now, and that is the question of Mekadesh B'milva. Just one more second. So just let me get it on the record. So the Gemara says here, Amar Abaya HaMekadesh B'milva Eina Mekudeshes. This is on Vav Amud Beis. That if you're Mekadesh with a milva, what does that mean? It means that she, Sarah, owes $100 to Reuven. Okay? So Reuven is the malva. He lends, he's the creditor. Sarah is the debtor, right? She's the Lova. She owes him $100. He wants to be Makadish her with the hundred, instead of giving her a pruta or $100, as the case may be, he wants to Makadish her with the money that she has to return to him. That's called Makadish B'milva, a very fascinating topic. So the Gemara says, Amar Abaya, HaMakadish B'milva Eina Mekudeshes. Then the Gemara goes on and says, Bahanas Milva Mekudeshes. Okay. Well, when we get to it, we'll go into detail. But for now, I just wanted to read the Rashi, which says the following. Rashi says, Eina Mekudeshes, Dekicha Miste Ephron Gomrinan, Diyayiv Midi Bishas Kiddushin, Umilva Lohotzanitna, Ukvarin Shalah, Umos Acherim Michayevislo. So Rashi says two things. Right? The second thing that he says is, you know, a pretty typical explanation of why it is that Mekadesh B'milva is not Mekudeshes. He basically says that even if the money happens to still be unspent, they gave him, you know, these crisp new bills with, you know, the serial numbers and they're identifiable, or it happened right away so everybody sees, right? And all of, they want to use that, you know, money immediately. If he wants to be Mekadesh her with it, it doesn't make a difference, because that's the principle that the Gemara develops later on in Mem Zayin Amud Aleph, called Milva Lahutza Nitna, which is interpreted in different ways, but the short part of the story, or the generally accepted idea, is that once a Lova receives money as a loan, right, even if the money happens to have been unspent, right, it's still Be'en, in one respect, legally, it's no longer defined as Be'en. Because milva lo tzanitna, when I give you that cash, right, the intention is for you to be able to spend it any way you wish. If you haven't had the opportunity yet, that's a coincidence. Already it becomes your, meaning the lova's money, and he has to pay the equivalent sum at the time when the debt is due. But there's no be'en anymore. But before Rashi got to that part of it, he says something very controversial. And that is the kicha miste Ephron gomrinan, the yoiv midi bishas kiddushin. That somehow the reason that milva doesn't work in kiddushin is connected with the fact that we derive kinyan kesef bekiddushin from kicha miste Ephron. So, you know, it's not explicit, but it sounds that way. A lot of the achronim picked up on this. The Pnei Yoshua, the Netziv and Merome Sada, the Avnei Milurim, they say different things about it. But, Mechaneh Meshutaf, the Tzara Shava Shebeinehem, is that they all seem to be zeroing in on this point of Rashi and extrapolating from the language that is Rashi saying that had the source of Kiddushei Kesef been V'yatzachinam, right, that there wouldn't have been a problem of being Mekadesh B'milva, because then it wouldn't be true that there has to be the Yoyble Midi B'Shas Kiddushin, that it would have been enough to have an exchange of value, and you wouldn't have needed, right, a physical, formal Maisa Mesira, a Mesina, a Mesira Nikeres. And the truth is that That's how they understand it. So there are two questions. Number one, what does it have to do with Yatzachinam ein Kasef versus Kicha Kicha Bistei Afron? Right? Number two, how come the Gemara omitted it on Dalet Amud Beis when the Gemara said Utsricha? Right, if this interpretation of Rashi is correct, the Gemara could have said Utsricha, the Kasef Rachamon of Yatzachinam ein Kasef, I would think that Mekadish B'Milva would be Mekudeshes. Kamash Malan, right? Kicha Kicha Mistei Ephraim. Right? So, I think the answer to both questions is what we just said before. And that is, if we interpret the Gemara and Dalet Amud Beis, the Tzrichasa, as reflecting two different perspectives on Kiddushei Kesef, right? And that V'yatzachinim is more, it's not a description, it's not really something singular about Kiddushin or Kiddushei Kesef. It's, you know, kind of a universal agreement, you know, to enter into a, you know, relationship or a partnership or some sort of, you know, agreement, some sort of compact, right? And just like it doesn't really matter very much, you know, who's the initiator, you know, who's responding, you know, who's passive, who's active. You have two parties and they come to an agreement, you know, and they use a method, you know, that is generally accepted in Kinyanim, right? So, similarly, what might be important in Milva in that circumstance would be the fact that the balance sheets are neutralized. Meaning, what does it really make a difference in the end of the world, at the end of the day, if we're talking about Kiddushei Kesef, not as a formal maisa and a symbol with an initiator and a responder? Let's say all it really is about, you know, symbolically, there's a sum of money, and around that sum of money that concretizes the agreement of the parties in a flexible agreement. So at the end of the day, do you need yoiv le midi, masar la? In the end of the day, does it really matter if I dig in my pocket and I take out $100 bill and I say harayat mekudeshesli, or if you owe me $100 and I say, you know what, the $100 that you don't have to pay me back is the kesef kiddusha. That's what I mean by balancing or neutralizing the balance sheets, right? So it doesn't make a difference, really. But if kiyikach, ish, isha, if there's a maisa kicha, and the order matters, and the initiative matters, and so on and so forth, that's a different story. It's not just the effect, it's not the result, it's the procedure and what it symbolically signifies. Mashal Madhav, no, we'll get to it more when we get to it, but the you know, the Rambam also. Do you have the Rambam? Like, superfluous for me to ask, right?
We have to meet me halfway.
What's that?
Meet me halfway.
I'll meet you halfway. I'll meet you more than, for the Rambam, I'll go more than. Okay. This idea that Rashi seems to say that Mekadesh B'Milva, Eino Mekudeshes, is connected to the character of Kiddushin, seems to be echoed, albeit in a different formulation, by the Rambam. Before I get to that, let me just bring this in, you know, kind of highlight the problem just a little bit more. The Gemara later on, in the second parak, if you could turn to it for a moment, on Mem Zayin Amud Aleph, the Gemara says the following. Very equally famous Gemara about Mekadesh B'Milva. Everybody have it? Mem Zayin Amud Aleph. In my Gemara, I'm sure in most Gemaras, first wide line. Yeah? So the Gemara says, Amar Rav. Notice, by the way, just, you know, for a shortcutting, our Gemara was Amar Abaya, right? Or Abaya Amar. This is Amar Rav. Some people think that that's important, as you'll see in a moment. So Amar Rav, Hamakadish B'Milva, right? Excuse me. Eina Mekudeshes. The Gemara says, "Amikadosh b'milva ena mekudeshes." Right, milva lo tza nitna. Right, so amikadosh b'milva ena mekudeshes, milva lo tza nitna. Meaning, same idea we mentioned before, that the cash is meant to be spent, and therefore, even if you have it in your possession, right, it's already not. It doesn't belong to the malv anymore. It belongs to the lov. It's a lova's money. Once it went down with that threshold. So the Gemara says, "Amar The Gemara says, name a katanai. Maybe there's a machlokas. It seems like there's a machlokas atanai. Hamakadish b'milva ainu mekudeshes, v'yeshomer mekudeshes. There's another man da Amar who says that Makarish Milva is Makudeshes. So the Gemara says, "My lab b'hakamifligi." Sounds like the argument would revolve around the following: the Mar Savar Milva lahotzonitna. One guy holds Milva lahotzonitna, like we said, meaning the second I hand you over the $100 bill, even if you haven't spent it yet, since you have the ability to spend it, it already becomes the Lovez money. He has to pay back an equivalent amount at the right time, but it's his money, right? And therefore, you can't use that in a transaction. The other one says, until you've spent the money, we'll translate it this way for now. There are other Rishonim who understand the difference, more complex than this, but Marsavar Milva Lavlo Tzanitna, meaning until you have actually, right, spent the, you know, the bills that you received, right, you can still look at it as belonging to the Malva, and therefore subject to transactions. So the Gemara says, V'tizbra, does that make sense? Ema Seifa, we learned in the Seifa of the Braisa, V'shavim b'mecher shezekana, the Braisa says, V'shavim b'mecher, right, everybody, and they both agree, that when it comes to mecher, when it comes to dine maminis, right, shezekana, that it works. Meaning that this case will be effective. It doesn't work. There's a debate about Kiddushin, but when it comes to Mecher, maybe it won't work. So the Gemara says, Yomris Milva Lahotza Nitna, right? Bamai Kani. But if you're saying there's an argument whether Milva is Lahotza Nitna, then at the end of the day, right, it should, that should affect Mecher as well. Right? So the Gemara says, Om Rav Nachman, Huna Chavrin Mukala Bemili Ochri. That our good friend Rav Huna explained this whole Bryce is talking about something else. Okay. What's important about this Gemara? There are two things. Number one, if you notice carefully, this is Rav and that's Abaye. Fine. The word Bilbal Hotsa Nitna, that phrase, appears in this Gemara, Mem Zayin Bet Aleph. It doesn't appear on Gemara Beis. Even though Rashi brings it in. And we'll see the Rambam brings it in. But it doesn't appear in the Gemara, at least. But the third point, which is where the Rambam becomes very important, is this Gemara seems to say that whatever the halacha is with regard to Kiddushin, that's the halacha regarding Mecher as well. Because the Gemara says, V'shavin b'mecher, and the Gemara says, it can't be that everybody agrees Mecher works. Even if Kiddushin doesn't work, Mecher doesn't work. Because Milva lo tzanidna. Right, so this Gemara seems to be saying unequivocally that if Milva doesn't work in Kiddushin, then Milva doesn't work in Mechari. However, the Rambam, this you don't have on you, my fault, say for Kinyan, I got it? Okay, terrific. So, Perek Hei Halacha, try Zion Dal.
I don't have that down.
What?
I don't have it down.
Oh, you don't have the Bechira.
I
okay.
Mada, Ava, Nashem, and Zorayim.
He has Koyach.
What do you have? Mada?
I only have Mada, Ava, Nashem, and Zorayim.
Oh, okay.
I mean, I just haven't done
so this will encourage you in the future. Yeah. Yeah. Anyways, if you look at the Rabban Hilchos Bechira, it sounds like Simcha has it. You have it?
I have it.
Who has it?
I have it.
Zayin Dalad? Let's go for Zayin Dalad. It's also Hey Dalit, but got it? Okay. You, or unless you want to do it, it'd be like old times.
We can go and get it right there. You know, it's not that hard to get.
What would be the charm in that?
Yeah.
Okay. So Misha Hayalakovetzel, thank you very much. Misha Hayalakovetzel Kaveiro. Okay. Means somebody has, I have a debt, in other words, Ruvain is a malve and Shimon owes him money. The Amaloni says to him, "Bechor li chavish al yayin, bechov sheyesh li etzlech." So he says, "Listen, you owe me $100. You know, I'm interested in your barrel of wine, right? So, why don't we, exchange the Dmei Amilva, basically, let's use the outstanding chov to pay for the chavis shel yayin. So the Rambam says, Hareza kemisha nasan hadamim ata. It's as if he whipped out $100 bill and handed over him. The chola chozer bo, metabo mishapara. This is metalkalin. You're trying to acquire metalkalin. We, even though if you paskal or kabyocher and dvar Torah mos konos, but they made a takana that you can't acquire metalkalin through mos because they were afraid. Shema yisrafu chitecha balia. They were afraid that, my watch is in the home. It's in my home. And somebody else acquires it. There won't be any incentive if it's burning up in flames. There won't be any incentive to save it. So that's Shemin's. Oh, I think I lost there. Do I push the round button? See, this is really just my way of trying to get your password.
No.
So basically what the Rambam's saying is, let me just finish reading it though, you're right. In this, there's something called a mishapara, which is what happens, when you don't have a full kinyan. Well, sefikach im bachol a karka bechovo, ein echad mehem biachol achzerbo, afa bisha ein mos hamilva mitzuyos bishas hamecher. Now I'm good. So the Rambam says, and if it was karka, everybody agrees that kesef works for karka, then the main milva certainly work. Okay. Basically, the Ravid, on that Rambam, I should have kept it for that. Okay. And also Parakei Halacha Dalet, which is a parallel case. The Ravid in both places is very upset. The Ravid quotes the Gemara here in Kedushin, Veshavin B'Necher. He wants to know why the Rambam is ignoring an explicit Gemara. Right? Because the Gemara says that whatever is true for Kedushin is true for Mecher. Right? Rambam Paskins and Ochosisha's Parakei Halacha Yud Aleph, Halacha Yud Gimel, that we do have. Let me just read it. That Mekadish Memilva Zayna Mukudeshes. One second. Okay. Hamekadish Memilva, Afilo Hoysa Bishtar, Eina Mukudeshes. Keitzad, Kegon Shahayalo Etzla Chov Dinar. Right, he again had, he lent her money. She owes him money. But Amar Lo, he says to her, "Listen, we'll call it even." Right, Haret Mekudeshes Li, but Dinar Sheyesh Li Biyadech, the dinar that you owe me. Let's use that as the Kesef Kedushin instead of my putting my hand in my pocket and pulling out a dinar and saying Haret Mekudeshes Li. The dinar you owe me will be that dinar. So the Rambam says, "Eina Mekudeshes Mipnei Shamil Belahotzan Itna." Ein kan davar kayim lihonos bo miata shekvar hotzia oso dinar ve'avra hana'asa. This is part of a much, much bigger topic, obviously, and a much bigger topic even in the Rambam. I just want to make the following quick points. So basically, there seems to be a stira in the Rambam. Everybody is involved in this question. When it comes to Ishus, the Rambam says Mekadosh Milvein Mekudeshes. When it comes to Mecher, the Rambam says if it's karka, it works. If it's metalklin, it works what we call mishapara, a curse, kind of a, you're not allowed to back out from a mishapara, even if it isn't an actual kinyan. It's kind of the remnant or the, the echo of the kinyan. So it's against the Gemara Mem Zayin Amud Aleph. Logically, why should we distinguish between the milva when it comes to kiddushin and mecher and so on? So there's a lot to say about this Rambam. But what some people suggest is, including the Netziv and Avnei Miloim, they say it each in different ways. Each way is really quite interesting. The Rav had, I'll tell you the Rav said in a minute about this, very interesting development, which I think really can be found earlier, much earlier, obviously, in the Tosfos Ri HaZaken, but with an added twist that I'll tell you about in just a second, that maybe there are two sugyas. There's a Gemara in Balmud Beis, and there's a Gemara in Mem Zayin Amud Aleph. The Gemara in Vabud Beis is Abaya. Gemara Amem Zayin Amud Aleph is Rav. Moreover, taking a leaf from this Rashi that they make the Diyukan, some of them say, maybe Mem Zayin Amud Aleph, thinks that Kiddushin Kesef is based on Yatsachina. Maybe Vabud Beis thinks it's based on Kiyikach Ishisha. And basically we're dealing with two different ideas. what are the two different ideas? I'll tell you the Rav's version of it. Building on what I said a second ago about neutralizing the balance sheets, right? So there is a basic argument in general about Kinyan Kesef in the Talteln and Bekarka, and you might distinguish between them. A basic argument, which we've talked about already this year, and that is, we talked about Kalipin extensively, right? So we're going back to that for a moment, is does Kesef work, midin what we call Piraon or Kesef? In other words, is the Kinyan Kesef based on neutralizing the balance sheets, value? So if I were to buy a field with $1,000, so if I give a pruta, it's only because, it's not because I'm acquiring it formally with a pruta, it's because the pruta is the first of the $1,000 that I owe. And the rest is, you know, zakifas milva. But I'm really acquiring this property with $1,000. Or no, that's what we call piro. That's what the sma thinks, you know, is the basis of this kinyan. Or is it not piro, but kesef? I mean, it's a symbolic mode of acquisition. I acquire the karka with a pruta. Right? This is a major debate. The sma against the tat, much earlier in the Rishonim already, in certain sugyas and azav. The details are not important for the moment, but this is a major, major argument. When we talked about chalipin, we talked about one of the differences between chalipin and kesef, perhaps breaking down, you know, between piraon and kesef. Okay. What does this have to do with this? So the Tosri Azakein kind of says, and the Rav said this many, many years later, is that maybe the idea of the Rambam is that milva can serve as piron, but it really can't serve as kesef. Now that seems like a little bit counterintuitive until you think about it, meaning from a Kalin Chomor point of view, you would say the opposite, right? Because you think, if I'm paying you the $1,000, that's a more effective method of kinyan, right? You know, the bigger chiddush is the kesef. You know, I can pay you one, but that's if that's true, it should be easier to accomplish. Either to hand over pruta than it is to hand over, you know, the first of 1,000 prutas, right? But the idea is very simple, and that is that kesef isn't about equal value. If you hold it to pruta. So it's a symbolic nesina or mesira. I hand over pruta to you as a symbol of the fact that I acquire your field. But piron is an exchange based on, right, neutralizing the balance sheets, right? There's an equal $1,000 on both sides. So the idea is that milva should work as piron. Because what's the difference if I dig into my pocket and take out a dinar, right? Or I say the dinar that you owe, we're even, right? We're even. They cancel each other out. If it's all about piron, that should be fine. So what the Rav wanted to say was that the sugya on Mem Zayin Amud Aleph, right, is dealing with the problem of piron. The sugya on Vav Med Beis is dealing with the problem of kesef. And that kicha kicha misnei ephron, that you need mesira, right? That's kesef. The Gemara here initially says v'shavin b'mecher, but if you look very carefully at the Rambam, right, the Rambam's mechalek on a certain level between metaltalin and karka. Right? The question is only darbanu daraisa. But a lot of the evidence points to the fact you can acquire karka with kesef. It could be that metaltalin requires piron. Kesef doesn't have a value anyway. There's no I'm sorry. Karka doesn't have a value anyway. There's no ono bekarkos, right? So maybe the best way to acquire karka is not to try to match the value, right? It's to give a symbolic kesef. But metaltalin, right, there's a debate whether Mos Konos, the Ramban points out in Parakazav, like, let's say Mos is Konos, Rabbi Yochanan holds Mos Konos Minatorah. Where's the Mokar? So one view of the Ramban is, you don't need a makar. You need a makar for kesef being effective in karka. But you don't need a makar for ma'os, which is the language of the Gemara, ma'os konos, being effective in metalfon. It's a svara. What do you mean it's a svara? Exactly this idea. The idea that when it comes to karka, the kinyan is through kesef. When it comes to ma'os, right, the idea is through piro. So if that's the case, we understand very well what the Rambam is saying. The Rambam is saying that if you're mekadesh, an isha, the milva doesn't work. And if you look at the language, because you're not giving her anything, kidushe kesef is a din in kesef, right? And kicha kicha misteyafron. So that's the language that the Rambam uses when he says, "Hamikadosh milva apilo hoisa b'shtar einu mekudeshes." Right? Why? Mipnei shamilva lo tzonit that the enkan davar kayam lihonos bo me'ata shekvar hotzia osodina va'avra hanasa. But when it comes to mecher, the question is, can you neutralize the balance sheets? So what's the difference if I write you a check for $100, or I give you cash for $100, or I tell you that the $100 loan that you owe me is now canceled? Okay. But if the source of all that, if part of the subtext of all this is that kicha kicha misteyafron is the makor for kiddushe kesef, in other words, had kiddushe kesef been derived from biatzachinam, right? So then we would look at Kiddushe Kesef the same way that we look at Betaltalin. Right? So then we'd say Mekadosh B'milva maybe would be Mekudeshes. It's only because we hold Kicha Kicha Misteyafron and we're formalizing the Maisa Kiddushin that we come to this other conclusion. So that is all part of the story of the Gemara in Dalar Amud Beis, the Tzrichasa. It's not that, well, why did the Gemara give those nafkamina? The Gemara wasn't trying to, my suggestion, to exhaust, you know, the differences between Viyatzachinam and Kiyikachi Shisha. The Gemara was trying to explain that we're dealing with two different perspectives on what Kiddushe Kesef is, and they were highlighting it. There may be other nafkamina, right? Mekadosh B'milva and the relationship between Kiddushin and Mecher would be another nafkamina. Okay, so that finishes up what he wanted to say about Dalar Amud Beis. We'll speak more about Milva when we get to it.
The
Riyah Zaken is in two places. Number one, a little bit on Mem Zayin Amud Aleph, where he suggests that whether or not we hold like Rabbi Yochanan, Dvar Torah, Mos, Konos, is going to determine whether or not we equate Mecher and Kiddushin. But even more so, on Chav Ches Amud Beis, the sugya of kol hanishom damin ba'acher, the Gemara here Chav Ches Amud Beis, which quotes from Yochanan, and the Tosfos Riyah Zaken here, he alludes to his comments in each place, and that's I think where it's practically explicit that he doesn't say it, but it's implicit in the way that he speaks about it. Yeah.
Whatever perspective you have, the husband is certainly the Kohen, she's a Machna.
Yes.
Okay. So if you learn it out from, if you only had Kiyikach.
No, that's because of Kiyikach. Had it been V'yatzachina main Kasef, it the way to read the Gemara probably is that at least in Kiddushe Kesef, this is Machlokas Rashi and Tosas. Rashi seems to say that if we had not had Kiyikach, then in general, that would be fluid. And Tosas says, well, what are you going to do with, if it wasn't for Kichim Stafron, then you'd have to say that Kiyikach Ish Ishu V'Allah refers to Kiddushe Bia. So Tosa says, yes. The real pshat is, if you're Mekadosh B'derech Bia, then you'd have to have Kiyikach Ish Isha. But if you're going to be Mekadosh through Kesef because of Yatzachinam, then it could be Kitikach too. That's the, that's Tosas's comment.
Even if you didn't have Yatzachinam and Kesef, you know that there was a Kenyan Kesef through Kiyikach Kiyikach Nisayefron. You know there's a kicha kicha misayefron in Megala that there's a Kenyan Kesef, right? If you didn't have Yatzachino.
Not necessarily. These are two different limudim.
We must still know that.
The Gemara is trying to say, why do we need each limud? So the Gemara is considering the possibility that ki yikach doesn't refer to kicha kicha v'stei afron, and we would only have v'yatzachinam. The Gemara is saying, if I only had v'yatzachinam...
If you only had ki yikach,
correct?
Yeah. Didn't have v'yatzachinam.
Did not. So you'd think that she, the ketana, would receive the kesef kiddushin in the case of ketana.
No, the one says if you only had ki yikach, you would think that she could give it to him too.
No. Pumpa
care. That's crazy, no?
The other way. If you only had ki yikach, you would, and you didn't have yatzachinam, then you would think that the isha in a ketana, even a ketana, gets the money, not the father. Yeah, look at the shadow of time.
But what's the ki yikach lo kisikach? What does that mean?
No. If you had v'yatzachinam and you didn't have ki'ikach, not the words, the words are in the Torah. If the words ki'ikach didn't signify kiddushei kesef, you would think that nasnahi es ha-kesef would work also. And that the words, to use Tosis' pshat, the words ki'ikach refer to ki'ikach ishisho v'Allah, they don't refer to kesef.
That's presuming that you don't use v'yatzachinam. If you only had ki'ikach,
If you only had ki yikach,
would you know kiddushei kesef?
Yes, but you wouldn't know that the father receives the kesef of kiddushei ketana in his bank account.
But how would you know that if she gives, it's no good?
If you had v'yatzachinam and you didn't have,
if you had only ki yikach,
because it says ki yikach and not ki tikach. If that refers to kesef, it establishes that he needs to take the initiative. Okay, so let's continue. So the next line of the Gemara says, Uva Allah, Malamed Shiniknes Bibia. So the Gemara says, Valo Dinhu. This is the Makar for Kiddushe Bia, Uva Allah. So the Gemara is actually going to revisit this later, but okay. The Gemara says, Valo Dinhu. Mayibaba Shiniknes Bekesef, Niknes Bibia, Zusha Niknes Bekesef, and Adin Shiniknes Bibia. So this is exactly, remember last time we were talking about. Hierarchies, that don't, calculate, the specific nature or character of the kinyanim. So the Gemara here is basically suggesting that you see from Yavama, right, that it's easier to justify or to apply kinyan bia than it is kinyan kesef. So basically, if that's true, right? So halodinu, yivamei niknas bekesef niknas bebia, you shouldn't need a makar for kiddushei bia, because once we know kiddushei kesef, we should know kiddushei bia. Obviously, the answer to that is going to be in just a minute that maybe there is some special yichus of bia to yibum. So we'll get that in a sec. But before the Gemara gets that, so the Gemara says, Ama ha'ivriya tochiyah. Sheniknas bekesef, ein niknas bebiyah. Ama ivriya, right, is niknas bekesef and not bebiyah. So that seems to disrupt this hierarchical, or this pure hierarchical idea that, whenever kesef works, bia works. It's not true in Ama ivriya. So the Gemara says, again, Mala ama ivriya she'ein kinyana l'shumishas. Case of Ama Ivriya, the reason that it's not an example of that is because it's on Isha Salacha, so Kiddushei Bia is irrelevant. So based on what we spoke of last week, right, why would it be relevant? Why wouldn't it be relevant? Right, the question of the role of Yiyud in Ama Ivriya is part of the reason Ama Ivriya is allowed is because it has a potential of Ishus, or are these two completely different ideas? Is Yiyud even a different kind of Ishus? Okay. But Tom Bezusha Kinyana Lishumishas. In any case, Tom Lomer Ba'ala, so the Gemara says, Valabalikra, Ha'asila. So it sounds like we're back on track for this seemingly good Kalvachomer, which is that if Kesef works in Kiddushin, then Bia should certainly work, because you see from Rivam. So the Gemara says, Hamra Abashi, Mishum, the Ikan Ameimar, Me'ikra Dedina Pircha. Right? Which is the Gemara's way of saying exactly what we said before, which is you have to not just, isolate the factors. And rank them mathematically or hierarchically, easier kinyan, more obvious kinyan. There's a certain dynamic you have to apply the context. So, what's this kal v'chomer based on? Right, the answer is Miyamama, Malibama, Shekin Skuka Vyomedes, Tombrizu Shein Skuka Vyomedes, Talmudlomar Uba'ala. Okay. Now, what does this mean that Yavama has a greater affinity to Bia because Shekin Skuka Vyomedes? So here, just I don't want to go into detail right now, but this is something that, you know, it came up earlier, about a daf and a half ago, and of course, many years ago we learned Yavamos. There are really two popular perushim of this. The first one is Rashi's, Shekein Skukav Yomedes, Lazem Machmas Kiddush Yameis, the last Rashi on the page, Ve'ein Bia Ba Ela Ligmar, Avokinyan Demi Kara Lo. So what Rashi says is something very important. Rashi says, basically, Yibum should be compared to Nisuin. It's a Gemar, it's not a Hatchalas HaKinyan. I always like to quote the Svarno, right, who says that the Eirusin, right, in Yibum, is the continuation of the marriage of the first husband. Right? And the Yibum is like Nisuin to the second husband. So that's kind of, you don't have to go that far, that's a pretty striking formulation. But the idea that Yibum is a gemar, it's like the matir, and it's like chuppah, if you will, in the suin, is a very reasonable idea, and therefore kesef, shtar, are not really candidates, right, for the same reason that they're not candidates. We'll see when we get to the gemara, hayam and alef, hayam and beis, they're not really candidates for chuppah either, right? The gemar part of ishus, the chuppah part, is not accomplished through Kesef and Shtar, although the Gemara discusses it. Okay. There's another possibility, and that is the idea that since the goal, or the motivation in Yibum is Lahakim La'achiv Shem B'Yisrael, right, so the Bia Rishona in particular has special status, and for that reason, again, you just can't compare Yibum to anything else. So that's the other view of Tosus here. If you look at Tosas three lines from the bottom, Benir Lari, the Hakim Parash, Kain Skuk of the Omedis Labia, Klomar, Sheikar Mitzvasa, Lahakim Lahakim, Shein, Hilkach Nakela, Lahaknos Labia, Yosem Isha. And then the second shot that he quotes is really Rashi's, Barav Rablazar Bissens, Pirish, Shekain Skuk of Omedis Shabia, Zu Eina Osela Gomeres, Kidushe Rishon, Mishim the Ashkhan, Bia Gomeres, Lomar, Lonomar Shatikna, right, Chilas. Kenyan. Okay, so once again, it's this tension that we have throughout these Gemaras about, you know, isolating factors or always seeing them in their context. In their context, it's not Kal and Chamor, it's what is particularly suited, right, to a particular Kenyan. Okay, let's move on to the next Gemara. Again, the same kind of issue, but here we also encounter kind of the mirror image of Milva, which I want to discuss a little bit. The Gemara says, "Minayin shaf b'shtar." How do you know that there's something called kiddushei shtar? Right. Truth is that the pasuk in Kiteitze, "Ki yikach ish isho v'ala," if you interpret "kicha kicha v'steyafron," which mostly we do, right? So "ki yikach" refers to kesef, and "uva'ala" refers to kiddushei bia. But where is shtar? Later on, the Gemara daf tes actually has a suggestion. The Gemara there wants to know, how do you know, maybe neither Kesef nor Bia is a standalone Kinyan. Right? I'm actually look at that Gemara just for a second. Let's tell you something very quickly about it, because I don't want to go into the whole other topic of it, but let's just talk about it for a minute. The Gemara says here, Daftes. Yeah. Tess on the base. Yeah. The Gemara says as follows. Ubibia, this is five lines down in the wide lines, sorry. Five lines in the wide lines. Got it? Mm-hmm. Ubibia? Yeah. So the Gemara says, Minalan. What's the makar of Kiddushibia? The Gemara says, Rabbi Yochanan, Amar Kro, Be'ulas Baal, Belamed Shanas, Slabali, they be. So the Gemara says, Rabbi Rabzeir, Rabbi Avohu, Rabbi Rishlokesh, Rabbi Yochanan, Kura. Zushashana Rabbi Uba'ala. But he had a different, he learned the pasuk from Kikaki Shisho Va'ala. Malamed Shiniknes Bibiya. So the Gemara says, no, that's not such a good standalone libud. Why? Because he may hasam hava min adam kadosh v'hadir bayo. Maybe they should read the pasuk ki yikach ish isho v'alav. You need both. You need kesef and bia. Kamash malon. That's a gemara. Very interesting gemara. But shtar, you know, man dekar shemay. So there's a very interesting, you know, tshuva the Rama. I think I made quick reference to it before. I said Rama Pirush Mishnayos, Sefer HaMitzvos, Yad HaChazaka. I said it is famous tshuva, right? You know, what's the famous tshuva? So as everybody knows, I'm not going to go into all detail because we learned Ksivas a couple of years ago, but, you know, the Rambam famously says that Kiddushe Kesef is Midivrei Sofer. And there's a huge, huge debate, you know, from the very beginning of, you know, Maimonidean, you know, interpretation, you know, till our own age. You know, what does that mean? What does Divrei Sofer mean? And there's mixed evidence, a very, very interesting topic. Did the Rambam mean Midrabanan? Did he mean Doraisa, but derived from Yud Gimel Midos? Like, what does the Rambam mean by this? Okay. So, right. Then the Rambam changes mind. There are different girsos and Perek Aleph, Hilchos Ishos, Perek Gimel. I don't want to go into the whole thing right now, but a very controversial issue. Anyways, the Rambam was asked by the Chachmei Lunel, you know, in Provence. They wrote him a letter, and they said, you know, Rabbeinu, you know, we don't understand one thing. In Yad HaChazaka, and they could have had, and in Sefer Mitzvos, and in Pirush Mishnayos, you have this hierarchy, right, in which you say that Kiddushei Kesef is Midivrei Sofer, right? But it sounds like you think that Shtar is not Midivrei Sofer. At the end of the day, we're about to read in a minute, what's the Makar of Kiddushei Shtar? So at the end, the Gemara learns out from a drasha, V'yatzav Haisa. Well, we'll see, it's this Gemara here in Ayman Aleph that we're going to read in a minute. So they said, we don't understand Mimonisha. Whatever you meant by Divrei Sofer, that's a different story. Right? But why is Kesef Midivrei Sofer? Because it's derived from a drasha, Kicha Kicha Mistei Ephron. And why is Shtar not considered to be Divrei Sofrim? But it's also derived from a drasha of Yatza, right? V'haisa. So the Rambam said, very good question. He wrote back, and he wrote, excellent question, very legitimate question. But if you look at the Gemara Daf Tesum and Beis and Kiddushin, you'll see why I concluded that Shtar is not Midivrei Sofrim, even though Kesef is Midivrei Sofrim. And he quotes this Gemara. Why is he quoting this Gemara? So the Ramban in Sefer Mitzvah, Shorish Beis, is where he talks about this issue. Because Ramban understood, being the Rambam in Shorish Beis and Sefer Mitzvos, develops the principle that, you know, things that are derived from drashos, they shouldn't necessarily be counted in Minyan HaMitzvos, except for certain exceptions. So the Ramban goes into this whole analysis of Divrei Sofrim, including Kiddushei Kesef. And then he quotes this tshuva, you know, of the Rambam to the Chachmei Lunel, and he says, I don't understand what the Rambam is even talking about. There's a Gemara here that he quotes that says that we, you know, if not for the makar bu'ulas baal, I might have said that the pasuk yikach ish isha, right, uva'ala means that you need kesef and bia, right? But we don't paskin like that Gemara because we think that kesef works separately and bia works separately. Well, what did the Rambam have in mind? Because if you can go with the continuation of the Gemara says as follows. So the Gemara says, if it would be true that you need kesef and bia, according to that view, how would you ever find a case of nara marasa, which would be beskila? Why? If the only way to get erusin is through a combination of kesef and bia, then it's never Nara Murasa, because she's already Ba'ula. Ida Atish V'lo Boil, then she's not Murasa. So it's Lav Klumhu. So the Gemara says, "Amur Rabbanan Tamei Dabaya Beshkakas Lakon Shbalah Arus Shelo Katarka." Oh, maybe it's one case. The Gemara rejects that. Finally, the Gemara says, "I'm skipping a little bit." The Gemara says, "Amur Rab Nachman by Yitzhak Mashkakas Lakon Shekitcha Bishtar Ho VeGomer Motzi Gomer Machnis." So the Rambam said, "You see that when the Gemara had a Hava Mina that maybe you need Kesef and Bia together." The only independent method of Erison would be Shtar. So that's why, says the Rambam, I think that even though otherwise I would have been inclined to say Shtar was Medivrei Sofrim, I don't think it's Medivrei Sofrim because of this Gemara. The Rambam says, this all Gemara is all a Hava Mina. This Gemara is assuming, right, that we didn't have the pasuk of Lulas Baal, therefore we're going to interpret Kihikach Uv Allah that you need both, and therefore the only independent Kiddushin is going to be Shtar, but we don't pasuk it like this Gemara. So what does the Rambam even mean? So I think that the answer is that the Rambam was impressed with this Hava Mina because he felt that there was something very true about it, even the Maskana. The very fact that the Gemara could consider the possibility that the only standalone Kiddushin is Bishtar highlights the fact that Shtar has a certain special status which excludes it from being Divrei Sofer, which I think is the Rambam's view of Divrei Sofer, that there's a certain hierarchy. Meaning, Kesef is an import, right, into the world of Ishus, into the world of Eben Ezer, from Choshen Mishpa. Kicha kicha misteafer. Right? The real source is the Maris HaMachpela, which is a Mecha Chumemkar situation. Kiddushe Bia, the problem with Kiddushe Bia, as we know, is that, you know, it may be too much like Chuppah, or like Znus. Rab Man get Aman de Mekadish Mebia. In the end, they decided that this best method, right, the one that might have been Erusin v'Nisuin b'Yachad, according to one view of the Gemara, is best left alone. Because it's hard to navigate, this is a Davar Shemikdusha. The only formal kinyan that's an internal kinyan is Shtar. So that's what the Gemara was saying. Maybe Kesef needs Bia, Bia needs Kesef. Kesef needs Bia because the formalism of Kesef needs the Ishus of Bia. The intimacy of Bia needs the formalism of Kesef. But if there's one Kinyan that'll stand alone, it'll be Shtar. And that's, I think, why the Gemara uses this expression here. Kesef, Shtar, what is the language of the Gemara?
Ho,
the Gomer Motzi, Gomer Machnis. And if you look at the Rambam in Hilchos Ishus, in Perek Gimel, I believe, that's the language that he uses as well. It's strange, like, why does he use that all of a sudden? I think, based on the tshuva that he writes, the Chachmi Lunil, this is what he is actually referring to. Right, the Rambam says, let's see if I can find it quickly, if not I'm going to drop it. Again. Oh, okay, it's actually in Perek. It's the one in Perek Aleph. He has it in Perek Aleph and in Perek Gimel. Again, this is the original form. B'likuchon ha-mitzaseh shel Torah, b'echon b'gimel drachim, d'var melo isha niknes, b'kesef o'b'shtar v'biyah, v'biyah b'shtar min ha-Torah, b'kesef m'divrei sofer. Okay. Then, later on, he says, one second, Perek Gimel, second, okay, I'm not finding the exact formulation here. But he uses the language of kesef gomer, kesef nichnas. Then I'll bring it in for next time. The exact same language of this Gemara. Okay. Anyway, so that is, I'm not finding the line. Oh, here it is. Okay. Hamakadesh bibia, this is Paragimah Halachachav. Hamakadesh bibia reilu kidushe Torah. V'chein b'shtar miskadesh es bomen haTorah, k'shem shegomer megaresh, shenemer v'kosov v'sefer k'risus kach gomer machnis. That's a quotation of the Gemara in Daf Tesamid Beis. And then he says, Abala kesef midivrei sofer. It's very meduik, exactly what he writes in the Tshuva. So the Ramban was saying, well, we don't paskin like that Gemara. And the Rambam was saying, we don't paskin like that Gemara, but the fact that the Gemara entertained the idea that shtar, in some respect, is superior to both kesef and bia, that idea is something that we retain. Because it's a formal, yet Ebenezer Kenyan. Anyways, getting back to the Gemara now in Hayom and Aleph for a minute. So the Gemara says, Minayin af b'shtar, bedinu. Ma kesef she'ein motzi machnis, shtar she'motzi, ein odin she'machnis. So the Gemara originally thinks that you could learn shtar from kesef. Kesef can't be used for a get, right? So shtar can. Shtar is stronger than kesef, right? More effective than kesef. Shtar is going to be used also for kiddushin. So then the Gemara says, Mala kesef, shekein podim bo hekdesh, umayser sheni, tomar b'shtar, she'ein podim bo hekdesh umayser sheni. We have a pircha of this kal v'chomer, because kesef works when it comes to redeeming hekdesh umayser sheni, right? And shtar does not. Let's just throw through the Gemara for a second, and I want to get back to this. Right? So the Gemara says, you're right. So we need a limud. Then the Gemara says, Va'akish nami yitzia lahabaya. Why don't we go in the other direction and derive, you know, that whatever works in Kiddushin should also work in Gittin. Ma'abaya b'kesef af yitzia b'kesef. The Gemara says, Rabbi, yomer kesef machnis, kesef motzi, sanegar yase kategar. Fascinating Gemara. The Gemara says, you're going to use kesef, you know, in and out, you know, of the ishas. That doesn't make any sense. So the Gemara says, yachi shtar nami, yomer shtar motzi shtar machnis, kategar yase sanegar. The Gemara says, mili dahai shtar luchun, mili haid shtar luchun. You can't compare a shtar gerushin and a shtar kiddushin. The text is, each one tells the story of what's happening. So the Gemara says, "Achanami hay kaspa l'chud v'hay kaspa l'chud." We're talking about different coins. The Gemara says, "Tiva mia chad," meaning unlike shtar, which tells the story. Here we're talking about, you know, it looks like a kona makne, right? Tiva mia chad. Then the Gemara says, "Rav Amar Amar Kra Kasevla Biksiva Miskareshes Same Miskareshes Bekesef." There's another limud to teach you that kesef doesn't work for gerushin. The Ema Biksiva Miskareshes Same Miskadeshes Biksiva. Why don't you say in the opposite way? That you can't have kiddushin b'ksiva. So the Gemara says, because it's taksiv v'yatzav ha'isa makish v'gomer maraya mistabra koy begerushin v'mayit gerushin koy begerushin u'mimayit kiddushin. L'Rabbi Yosi Aglili the apikol la'haykol the drasha achrinish enim skareshes b'kesef minol. How does he know that there's no gerushin b'kesef? Amar cross sefer krisa sefer korsa. Only a shtar can be kores. Ve'ein dover acher korsa. Rabbanan high creases my avdalay, viboyle davar koris bin olaveina, kidatanya. A get has to be an absolute separation. There can't be lingering conditions like you hang over the, that, you know, continue to bind the parties together, you know, in, ad infinitum. Hareza gita chabadasha tishdiyayin, amadasha telchle beisavich, li olam, if you say li olam, ainza creases. Kolamid yom, hareza krif. There's a time limit that'll work. Rabbi Azul, Glosia Gluli, Koris Krisis Kanafkale, Rabbanan Koris Krisis Lo Mash Malahu. Okay. Then the Gemara says, okay, why don't you learn out from the combination? Let me leave it at that. Okay. I just want to talk for a couple minutes about one other issue that comes up here. So the when the Gemara says here that Mal Kesef Shekin Ponim Bohekdesha Shemaiser Sheni, the Gemara says, Tomar Bishtar Shein Ponim Bohekdesha Shemaiser Sheni. Right? The shtar doesn't work for hekdesh ma'aser sheni, even though kesef does. So the interesting thing is, what is the shtar that might have but doesn't work for hekdesh and ma'aser sheni? So Rashi here says, shtar ein shem ponim ha'ekdeshos im kosev legizbar shtar almos pidyon hekdesh ein hekdesho padui debi'ina and v'nasan ha'kesef akablo. So basically, what Rashi says is that this is a kind of an IOU. A kind of a check. Right? Maybe even less than a check, because check, I guess, is something which you can cash a check, right? It's drawn on funds. This is an IOU, really. Right? It's a written commitment, right, to pay. It's not something which legally can be taken to draw. I mean, you can force its collection, but, right. So, what is the status of that kind of a initiative in the halacha? Right? Can you initiate, can you substitute kesef for an IOU? So the Gemara later on, Adaf Tezayin Omen Aleph, seems to say that such a thing is effective. Gemara here speaks about Eved Ivri. Gemara says that one of the ways that an Eved Ivri can be redeemed is through what we call Giro'on Kesef. I mean, you can buy out his contract, right? So if you look here, toward a little bit more than the middle of the page on Tezayin Amin Aleph, the Gemara says, Bigiron Kesef, Amar Chizkia Damar Krav Hefta, Melamed Shemigarea Pidyona Viyotza. You can, you figure out how many years is in the left, in terms of the financial arrangement, the value, and you can whittle it down and so on. You can pay off the rest. So the Gemara says, Tana v'kones atzmo b'kesef, he can acquire himself b'kesef u'bishav kesef u'bishtar. Ah, so the Gemara says, Bishlam b'kesef katsim b'kesef miknasa shav kesef nami yashiv gulasom rachmana l'rabos shav kesef k'kesef. That's a big topic, right? Ela haishtar. Hey Chadam, what's the story? What do you mean he can acquire himself with a shtar? So the Gemara says, Ilei b'dekasav l'shtar admei, which is the same idea, this IOU. He wrote a shtar, which committed him to paying this sum. So the Gemara says, Hainu kesef? That is kesef. Don't call that a shtar, that's called kesef. Which seems to mean that you can use it for pidyon evidivri, meaning it's a binding form in some context, at least in the context of Eved Ivri, of Kesef. It's also interesting that the Gemara doesn't want to call it shtar, linguistically. So it's fascinating that according to Rashi, it doesn't work in Hekdesh and Ma'aser Sheni, even though the Gemara seems to say that it works for Eved Ivri. Right?
There's a course of Rashi, says.
It's what? Okay.
So there has to be an Nesidus Kesef.
You mean it's a different kind of Kesef? So in a way, this is something very similar to our discussion of Milva, except it's the opposite of a Milva. Right? A Milva is a situation where there already exists a debt. And the question is whether the cancellation of that debt, right, is considered to be Kesef. I talked about Kesef Piraon, where you need a mesiras ma'os, right? Here we're talking about initiating an obligation, whether that can be a substitute, or that can be in lieu of kesef. I'm going to show you in a sec. Well, we're almost running out of time. I'll just speak for a second about some of the applications. But yeah.
Maybe it doesn't work for Kiddushin, but it does work for Mekach HaMemkar.
Well, we haven't talked about Kiddushin yet. How do you know that it works?
Maybe
it doesn't work in according to Rashi, Hekdesh and Ma'aser Sheni. It might. Oh, you mean comparing it to Milva? Oh, okay. So the Rashba, which I didn't get a chance to copy beforehand, But the Rajba has a very interesting discussion of all this. I have it here. The Rajba disagrees with this Rashi. It's a very famous Rajba. He quotes Rashi and he says, "Veinu mechubar." The bechay gavna afilu beisha inu mekudeshes. He says, "If the ilo omer the isha ret mekudeshes li b'mana, umechay vani atzmi loch b'shtar ba'osamana inu mekudeshes. The mana ain kan, b'shtar ain kan." That's a very strange line in the Rajma, I have to say, and a very, in my opinion, not a strong question. He says, "Oh, it sounds like a shtar, which in the end we're going to say works in Kiddushin, but does it work in Hekdesh and Maisa Sheni? So how could it be an IOU? If it was an IOU, it wouldn't work in Kiddushin either. How do you know that?" He says, "Because it would be the case where the guy says, I'm going to marry you with $100. Instead of giving $100, he gives an IOU. The reason I said I don't think that's such a strong question is, what about the case where the man says frontally, I'm going to marry you with this IOU for $100? Instead of saying, I'm going to marry you for $100, and then, you know, switching and baiting, you know, and giving an IOU. Right? Let's say there's no money. The din of money, it's a Gemara later on, which I hope we'll get to. The Gemara says, you know, if a person wants to be mekadeshly b'mana, right, v'nasan l'mashkon, he doesn't get, he promises her $100, then instead of giving her $100, he gives her a mashkon for the $100. So the Gemara says, money ain't kan, mashkon ain't kan. Right, so that's what the Rajba is saying here. Money ain't kan, shtar ain't kan, but that's not necessarily the case. What about the case where I say hare at mekudeshesli b'shtar adme zeh, frontally? How do you know that doesn't work as kasef in kiddushin? Right, it might be a better question and say, well, that isn't shtar. The Gemara on Tezayin Omen Aleph calls that kasef. Okay, that's a different question. Then he goes on to say the following. He says, moreover, this is a stronger question. He says, "Ubi'idan ki yikach kesef, v'hatznan bebechor is perikesh bechor, gav epijin aben, u'maisla b'resh perik hanose, kosev l'koin shu chayiv lo heisloim." Let's say I write the koin in IOU. Chayiv litin lo heisloim, u'bno eno padui. So you see, it says the Rajba, in pijin aben, this doesn't work. V'achanami eno mekudeshes, he has to come up with a different, you know, an alternative. So what's the pshat in the Gemara? The answer is, he said the pshat in the Gemara is not that you write IOU to Hekdesh, you write to Hekdesh a proclamation or a declaration, you know, that this thing is Hekdesh. So that doesn't work. But what's fascinating is this Raya from Pidgin Aben. So the Netziv, Lachronim have a lot to say about these issues. We've shown him earlier, obviously, but this is a very important Rajma. The Netziv has a whole explanation. If you look carefully at Rashi and Tosas and Bechoros and Ksuvas, etc., there are different Girsos. Some people think an IOU works in, fundamentally, Daraisa works in Pidgin Aben as well. But there are a number of poskim who think that the predominant view is that when it comes to Pidgin Aben, an IOU doesn't work.
And didn't Karka bought with IOUs?
Say it again?
Didn't Karka bought with IOUs?
No. Karka? Karka is bought with it, can be bought with Kesef, Shtar, and Chazaka. But Shtar is not an IOU. That shtar is a proclamation. An agreement between them with a shtar that there'll be, it's more like, you know, Haret Mekudeshesli or Sada Sadcha Knuyali. Not an IOU. Well, it might work with an IOU, but that's not the shtar of the Mishnah. So there are some very interesting things that people say about Pidgin Aben. One is, I'll just give you two examples of a number. One is that if I give you an IOU, right, it's probably worth less than the face value of the IOU. Right. So if I say I write you an IOU for $100, it's probably not worth $100, right? It's probably worth, I don't know, either $30 or $70, like we've discussed another time. Very similar to a selling your shtar, you know, somebody else's debts. right? A distressed asset. Is that what they call it? Distressed assets?
Secondary market trading.
Secondary market. Swaps? Who knows? Whatever it is, these things are traded, meaning they're, right, they figure out the value, like we've discussed many times. And of course, it's not the face value. It's depending on you know, whether it's a market in which people do or don't pay, it's worth more or less. But, you know, it's, so that's number one. So what they say is, yeah, if I write an IOU to the Kohen for 5 slayim, that's not worth 5 slayim. If I would write an IOU to the Kohen for 10 slayim, or whatever, maybe that would be worth 5 slayim. The Beis HaLevi, I think, says something else. Although I might be mixing them up. I think the Beis HaLevi says, the one place, or the one type of place where an IOU is certainly not going to work, is Pidyon HaBen. Because the whole point of the Pidyon HaBen is that the Torah imposed an IOU on you. The Torah said you owe him 5 slayim. So if you write a piece of paper and say, I owe you 5 slayim, what have you done? Zero. But if you have no relationship with somebody and you want to commit to them, right, for an IOU, that might be a form of kesef. But, of course, part of the real story is, and this is, I think, what you were saying, right, is that, you know, even if it works, and even if it works as kesef, it may work kind of as mos or piron. It's not likely to work, you know, when you need kesef, when you need a formal mesira and mesina of kesef.
Yeah, I mean, it's like
you have
to sell shekel
with an IOU. You can't. Yeah, well, the kind of that's what I was saying about the Pidyon HaBen.
Yeah, right.
Because you have to do it anyway. So you haven't initiated anything, and you haven't added anything. So this is a very fascinating, because like, there's a huge literature on this. It's very practical, right? What is the status of an IOU in the halacha? And whether to distinguish between different tchumim of halacha. But part of the story with this rian, sorry, I went a little overtime, but we're, you know, 5 minutes now, and you get a whole free next Monday night. So, and and our chairman, who, you know, he keeps track of the time, he's not here tonight, he's at a wedding. So, one of the really interesting things is to compare IOUs and milvas. Because they're, in some respects, they're very parallel. They're mechanisms, obviously, right? They're, or commodities, I would call them, in a way. They're not hardcore, intrinsic kesef in any way, right? But they are, in lieu of kesef. But they're also opposites, right? Because in one case, I'm initiating the obligation. In the other case, I'm trying to... by neutralizing an existing obligation, I'm trying to generate the equivalent of money. So comparing where milva works, what we're going to find, basically, what we would think that we would find in any case, would be that in some cases it would be completely parallel. Those where one works, the other would work. Because the common denominator is, you know, it's not kesef, it's going to work as some sort of piron. But in some respects, they're totally opposites. Because nothing exists in the IOU except what I initiate. In the case of milva, I'm not initiating anything because it's an outstanding debt, right? But I am neutralizing that debt. So it's both parallel and opposite.